You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The Friday edition of the A-Side Live Chat. Now, normally we do just Wednesdays, as you all know, but during this COVID-19 pandemic, we decided to bring it three times a week. We did Monday, we did Wednesday, and now we're here on Friday. We're trying to get more fighters on to get their perspectives now that everyone has more time. So for this Friday edition of the A-Side, we have UFC welterweight contender Michael Chiesa joining myself and Pete Carroll. Now, before we get into questions and what have you, Mike, we were talking a little bit off camera before we started. How's quarantine life for you? So let all the listeners in right now, give them an update on how you're handling this quarantine epidemic.
I mean, I'm handling it as best as I can. I don't know. I'm just trying to do the right thing. You know what I mean? Just trying to stay healthy, stay safe, stay home. Thankfully, I get along really well with my fiance, or this would just be a total disaster. But, you know, so I guess it's just, I'm always complaining that I'm always just so busy and I never get a chance to rest. And now I'm like, wow, I'm pretty much forced to sit around and be a couch potato. So it's like, I'm pretty eager to get back to normal life and get back to a regiment, but I'm making the most of it.
Well, you and I spoke when you were backstage. You were a guest fighter. I think it was at UFC 240. And you were saying when you were a lightweight, you would rack your brain so much trying to stay, keep your diet on track, even when you weren't fighting. So I imagine during this pandemic, you're glad you're at a welterweight right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, as we speak, I'm eating toaster waffles.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm glad I don't have to follow a diet because I gained more weight and ate more when I was at lightweight. I don't know. Maybe it was like a mental thing, but Sure. Yeah, I'm like embodying the 80-20 diet. Like 80% of the time during the day, we have like a good breakfast, good lunch, good healthy dinner. And then once nighttime falls, I'm like a box of cereal deep, eating fruit snacks, kind of eating like a dickhead. That's the hardest thing to do. It's not hard to like work out like at home. Like I have a garage, I have a heavy bag, I got some weights and stuff. So working out is not an issue. Maintaining like some level of fitness, but it's the diet thing. Like I just cannot, I'm constantly fighting myself to not eat like every hour of the day.
Well, now, as everyone that's followed this show for since the Luke Thomas days, Into the Mark and Sean days, we answer fan questions on this. So a lot of fans have sent in questions specifically for Mr. Chiesa here. Casey's behind the camera running things as usual. Maybe he'll pop in if he wants to give a recommendation for documentaries, as he's known to do. But Casey, what's our first question for Mr. Chiesa?
All right. First question is...
from Ted Bear on the site, one of the best attitudes in the UFC. How does Mr. Chiesa stay so positive amidst all the squabbling? If I had to deal with Colby and Dana, I'd end up locked in a mental clinic. So, Mike, as Ted Bear, longtime commenter, says, you are one of the more positive fighters in the UFC. So to answer his question, why are you so positive all the time?
I don't know, man. I'm just a pretty laid back guy, man. There's not a lot that really ruffles my feathers unless you talk about my mom. So I'm being serious. But yeah, you know, I just don't let that type of stuff get to me. You know what I mean? I think that there was a time in my career when it would have. Like I always talk about how 2017 through 2018, I kind of almost was like, it was like I was conforming. Like it was like I started to turn into the brash, start talking trash to my opponents, do this kind of social media thing. And, you know, I think if I was still that person today, I think it probably, I wouldn't be the same way, but that's just not true to who I am, man. I'm just a pretty laid back guy. Everything that's kind of bullshit just kind of comes in one ear and out the other. And I mean, life sucks when you're unhappy, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to let any type of squabbling or any of that shit get to me unless it involves my mom.
Casey, what do we got for another one for Mr. Chiesa? Thanks for the question again, Ted Bear. You've been one of our longtime listeners.
Oh, okay. Great. Right. Question number two is,
has Mike spotted a Yeti yet? From Craig Gerder Smith. So, Mike, you are in the Pacific Northwest. So, how many Yetis have you run into up there?
You know what's funny is I have like a little Yeti statue, like 2 feet away from me right now. I just can't reach it. So if I could, I'd reach out and grab it and be like, yeah, I spotted one right here. But No, I haven't, man. But I don't care. I'm a true believer, dude. There's a reason why I have like a Sasquatch tattoo and a Yeti tattoo. I believe there's something out there, man. How could there not be? It's just a lot smarter than we are. And obviously it's doing a lot better job of social distancing and self-quarantining because that guy's not near anybody. Maybe it's a girl. Maybe it's a guy. Who knows? But yeah, I haven't spotted a Yeti yet, but trust me, when the day comes, it'll happen. And I actually, when I was a little kid, I grew up in Newport, Washington, which is like way north of here, pretty close to Canada. And we had a crazy, like, geriatric old neighbor that, like, came over and said he saw a Sasquatch. And so me and my sister, like, put flowers in a Dr. Pepper can, like, took some food from the house. And we're just, like, walking around our backyard looking for Bigfoot. Like, hey, Bigfoot, where are you? Like, trying to bring in some stuff. So, yeah. I pursued him. I've just never seen him.
Well, I like the theory that he is indeed smarter than us. And people always say, like, where, how come we haven't found their remains? I think they bury their dead. Like we do. So that's why we can't find, like, everyone goes, how come I haven't found a Bigfoot or a Yeti skeleton? I think they are intelligent enough to bury their dead. So we just haven't found anything out there. I don't know if you've been to the Pacific Northwest, Pizzy. There's a lot of trees up there, to put it mildly.
Oh yeah. You should see where I live. I live in the woods. So it's like just trees and green everywhere. Mm-hmm.
I remember I saw something about these guys that are trying to find Sasquatch, and they seem like a pretty cool bunch of people. I would like to spend a lot of time with them, to be honest.
Isn't there a show like that? Isn't like Joe Rogan on it once?
I think that's what – I think I must have saw it on something to do with a Rogan thing or something, but they were hilarious. I would happily spend all my time around those people and, you know, worship their giant monkey god, the Sasquatch. I'm very happy with that.
Right. There's actually three. So there's a third one. A lot of people don't know about. There's Sasquatch. There's the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman. And then there's actually one called the Skunk Ape. And if you look up Skunk Ape on Google, it was a sighting in the Everglades down in Florida. And the sighting, it's actually kind of a creepy picture. But yeah, so there's actually three. So there's the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, and the Skunk Ape. And that's going to be my last big tattoo is my Skunk Ape tattoo. I got to get the three. I got to get the third one, man. I got to get the third one. You know what I say, dude? No offense to anybody. Like, I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody, but I just, if I'm going to get a fabled creature tattooed on my body, it's not going to be a dragon. And that's a little more normal. You know, you see a lot of dragon tattoos. So it's like, if I'm going to get a fabled creature tattooed on me, it's going to be something that's like the least of my native land, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not Asian. I don't know why I'd get a dragon, but I know why I'd get like a Yeti or a Sasquatch.
Well, I just
you're gonna send so many people down rabbit holes here. So many people are going,
yeah.
I just looked up at least I have time to do something with it. You got time to dive on in the rabbit hole.
That is a terrifying photo of a skunk ape. I just looked up. It's like,
yeah,
golly, that's a real photo.
Yeah, of course it's a real photo. It's a skunk ape.
You look it up, it's literally like a giant monkey like peeking out of the grass in the Everglades.
Oh, not him? Wow.
That's a statue of the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, I'd say. Skunk ape.
It's weird that this Sasquatch picture you're showing me, he has like the opposite of a treasure trail. He has like no nipple hair and there's no that's skin. That makes no sense. He's like usually it's like skin and then the treasure trail. That guy's like the opposite. He's got the skin around the hair.
I see the skunk ape now. It's absolutely terrifying, lads. That is fucking terrifying. Just these little glass, little red eyes popping out of the foliage there. Wow.
Yeah, and the big underbite. It's like, holy shit.
And they've named a strain of marijuana after him, I see.
Casey's throwing it up there.
There it is. Look at that
creepy thing,
dude.
How would you fight him, Mike? I mean, if it came down to it, it's just you and the skunk ape stripped to the waist, collarless and shirtless. How would you do it?
How would I do it? As in, like, what do you mean, how would I do what? Like,
How do you begin to attack the skunk ape?
Ooh, God, I don't know. I would really honestly believe that those, like, these fable apes, they got to be fast as shit. I mean, you see how fast like a gorilla is, you know what I mean? Like, there's a reason why we haven't seen them. So I would probably just like go fetal and just like hope for the best. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way.
Would you trust your squeeze? Would you trust your squeeze that guillotine on one of these skunk apes? I think you could go for it, man. It's been pretty successful.
My Sasquatch stretch. So I call it. It's what I called the. If you actually go on my Instagram, that's what I called the Camaro that I caught Carlos Condit with. I call it the Sasquatch stretch because I think one arm Camaro just is kind of lame. Yeah, it's like if I ever became a pro wrestler, that would be my special move.
Well, speaking on that, I think I watched the interview where Matt Riddle, someone asked Matt Riddle a similar question, like, how would you fight a bear or a Sasquatch or something, where he basically said, I would matador him and then, like, grab his fur and then just, like, climb up and then just, like, rear naked choke it.
That's confidence.
Yeah. Do you guys see that that thing that just came out on the internet about that dude that survived the bear attack? This is just, like, yesterday. Oh, yes. My God.
What the fuck was that?
That is horrendous. That was awful. I didn't even think it was real until I actually like scrolled over through all the pictures.
They start talking?
Yes. And then you can see he actually had his face reconstructed. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll send it to you right now, Jose.
Do I want to watch this?
Dude, it's wicked. It's wicked. Like it's hardcore.
Have you had any bear experience up there?
Have I had any bear experience? No, I've had mountain lion experience up here.
Oh God, fuck that.
Yeah, I have like, you want, okay, so you're talking about how like Matt Riddle talked about how he would fight a bear. I'm so weird, dude. I have this daydream that like, I'm going to be taking the garbage out someday and there's going to be a mountain lion there and I'm going to have like this man versus wild moment where I'm going to like tangle with a cat. Like I think about it all the time, but I actually, so when I, there's two kind of experiences I have with mountain lions. And one of them, actually, I didn't see one this time, but it's kind of a weird story. So when I first bought my house, it's like, I live in a cedar log house in the woods. And this is right when I moved in. I had no curtains in my house. I had no furniture. I had just a couch. So I just sleep on the couch in the living room. And the first night I ever slept in the house, I just got this really weird feeling. Like, I'm like, someone is watching me. And granted, it's the first night in the house, it's got big windows. I'm thinking like, it's gotta be what it is. But I just had this really freaking weird feeling. And I was talking to my sister that morning, telling her about it the next morning, telling her about it. And later that night, she sends me this news article of these people that live like less than a mile from my house, how their game cam went off the night before. And it was four mountain lions walking in a pack through their freaking yard. And I'm like, okay, like I think that feeling was warranted. And then the other time was I actually saw one in broad daylight just crossing the street when I was about to turn the corner to my house. I was just driving home from practice at 11:30, and that thing just casually walked out and just walked across the street. Like it didn't even run. It just like just came walking out, took its time, and it was like super low to the ground, but the head was like touching the side of the road and its tail was like touching the middle line. The thing was low. It was long. It was really long. And I was like, it just made it like way more creepy. Like
I would have turned it around.
I had to go home. And I wanted to get out of the car and take a video of it, but I had my little French bulldog with me. And I'm like, God dang.
Would have eaten Stone in one bite.
Poor Stone Cold. Yeah. If he jumps out of the car, he's fucked.
So, what is your dog's name?
Stone Cold.
After Steve Austin?
Yeah. His name is Stone Cold Chiesa.
That's amazing.
He's a stud. He's fat as hell.
We have a future subject for mixed martial arts. I don't know if you watch that, but they do a documentary on fighters' pets.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, he's an interesting dog, man. He's fat. He's like almost 40 pounds. He's just like a chunk.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
He has a comment saying that's very progressive of Chiesa. Women can be Yetis too.
See, there you go. Start a movement. Hashtag women can be Yetis too. So if I ever get another dog, this would be my other wrestler name that I would name my next dog, which it's going to happen. Don't tell my fiance, she's going to kill me, but, I'm getting a third dog and I'm naming him Dude Love. I think Dude Love is his sick name for a pet.
Of the Mick Foley personas, this is interesting because you're the first person I met where Dude Love seems to be their choice of all the four. Mick Foley, Mankind's, Cactus Jack, and of course, Dude Love.
Yeah.
So do
I mean, I hate to sound so like there's like everybody else, but I mean, it was Mankind for me. I mean, how could you ever forget? What was it? King of the Ring? 96.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact. King of the Ring.
Yeah, versus Undertaker, dude. Mm-hmm. That was like the craziest freaking wrestling match ever. I mean, I'm not like a huge diehard wrestling fan, you know, but I followed it for a long period of time in my life, and I just remember that being the craziest shit I've ever seen. Like freaking Mankind getting thrown off the top of a freaking.
I thought he died. When I watched it as a kid. I thought he was dead.
So I loved all the personas. I love Dude Love. I love Cactus Jack, but like Mankind, just that match in itself was like, okay, this is the persona I like the most. This guy's just a lunatic.
Biggest pop wrestling history is when he won the championship over The Rock when Stone Cold returned. I think it was Backlash against the Authority, or not the Authority. I can't remember what it was called. I don't have to sell Pete Carroll this. He's of course the biggest wrestling fan.
Oh yeah, wow. Music to my ears, all this, lads.
But anyway, we got off on a long. We could talk about wrestling the entire time, I bet. But any other questions we got for Mike, Casey?
Actually, I was about to put up a image of the bear attack, and holy crap, that is disgusting. Is it the video of the guy kind of like
the video? No, listen, you can hear him talking, man.
Yeah, like I see his mouth saying, moving. As like,
he's still like,
oh, I can't put that on the show.
Dude, that's I'm like when I watched that video, I just like started touching my face. I'm like, oh my god, he's missing this. There's nothing here. Like yeah. It's like all his bones from his eyeballs down just like disappeared. Like
steak, isn't it? Like raw steak or something. It looks like it's sick, man. It's really.
This is recent.
I just saw it.
Google bear attack in Google and Twitter. Just search. Go to Twitter and search in bear attack, and then everything will come up, and you'll see.
Great.
A lot of rumors out there suggesting.
Okay, I'm gonna keep the camera on you, Jose. So as you watch the video, I can actually watch you vomit at the same time.
Oh, if that was a skunk ape attack, that guy would not be alive. That guy's face would be. He would have ate his head.
It's like Jose's reaction.
His face is gone.
It's ridiculous, man.
Just ridiculous. Made me hungry.
His face is gone. It's like someone just cut his face. Oh my god, why am I watching that?
Yeah. Did you guys ever see the bear attack video that came out like last year, the year before, where it was like the guy, he's taking the selfie video, and it's not as bad as this one, but you can see he just has this huge gash like going along his ear and down the back, and it took me a few times watching it to really notice it, but the guy, the bear, like clawed his freaking head like over here, not his face. And he's just like taking a selfie video. He's like, just got a bear attack. It looks pretty bad. He's like, puts the camera over here and you kind of see his ear hanging off his head. Like,
oh, fuck. Do you have any bears in Ireland, Petey?
Just this one. Just this one.
She's just oohing and like, she's watching the video right now. So.
Yeah, it's a rough one. And it's like, dude, it's like a freaking train crash. You just cannot take your eyes off it. Like, I can't do gore. I'm like, dude, I'm not into it. Like, I passed out during a Saw movie one time in the movie theater. It was just too much for me. But something about that whole bear attack thing, I just could not take my eyes off it. I'm like, this is real. Like, what the hell? Like, it's crazy.
Never watch film Irreversible if you don't like gore. That's just a tip for me.
Oh, no.
Never
watch what?
The film Irreversible. It's a French film, I believe, and it's some of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen in my life.
It's like Faces of Death.
One of my friends fainted and went into a seizure watching it. Like it was that. It's a brilliant film if you can take the gore.
It's actually a very good film, but it's probably, you know, most people think films should be entertaining. This film is not meant to be entertaining. It's meant to.
It's unsettling.
It's a
fictional thing?
Yeah, it's a fictional thing, but the violence in it, and I don't want to.
I don't like
too much of the subject matter for this.
I'll never watch it, honestly. Okay. I'm a puss, dude. When I grew up, my cousin made me watch Faces of Death when I was a kid. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, dude, like, that shit's intense. I think that's what, like, what scarred me. I just was, like, got, like, force-fed that stuff when I was young. And I was like, all right, I've had enough of this. I'll pass on watching any gory stuff for the rest of my life.
Just except for bear attacks, apparently.
What it is.
I don't know what it is about that video. It's just, it's fascinating. I'm like, wow, this is, like, you would think that it's fake. You know what I mean? It just, mm-hmm. it looks like it's bad.
I can remember that face of death, though, the feeling of actually watching someone die, like, for the first time. Do you know what I mean? Because you never see this shit usually, and you're a kid watching it, right? And then you see it, and you're just like, what? I will never be the same again. That's what I was thinking when I was watching
it. Yeah. Or like the people getting their like their arms sawed off. You know what I mean? Like getting their arms cut off. Like, scratch my eyes out.
And then you're usually watching.
Look at the rabbit hole we dove into. We just went from Sasquatches to like faces of death. I saw some guy get his arms chopped off.
You guys are sick, man. He's a bunch of sickos. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing here, man.
You know what? This whole bear thing makes Lance Palmer 100 times more badass. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen the Lance Palmer videos of him wrestling a bear as a kid? Yeah. Wow. Well, guess what? Lance Palmer, your stock just rose through the freaking roof. You know what I mean? Like, what a savage.
Lance and Habib just wrestling bears out like when they're younger.
Nope. Yeah, I'm going to give Lance more cred though because he took on a full sizer. You know what I mean? Like,
what? You've never seen this, Pizzy?
No.
Yeah. You know what? And this kind of goes back to I love Lance. That's my boy. And his dad, Wayne the Pain, is like, I hope someday I can be half the man he is when I'm his age. Wayne the Pain is the fucking man. But going back to Tiger King, they said there was some footage in Ohio. You know what I mean? I wonder if Lance's dad had any interaction with any of these weird big cat people. they had a pet bear. They had a legit pet bear.
This
you know
is
what I
wild.
Mean?
This is wild, man.
Right?
This is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life.
Everything's coming full circle, dude.
Wait, Mike, can you hold up to the camera that your coffee mug?
Oh, fuck.
Hey.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, you're living the life, man.
Man, what are the odds?
Sasquatch, this is A-side going down a very random hole right now.
So, my God. So for our podcast listeners, Mike, what do you have on your cup? What is it?
This is a grizzly bear, and so I have like a coffee mug collection. I buy a coffee mug anytime I go somewhere new. You know what I mean? It's better than a shot glass. I'm not an alcoholic. So I'm pretty sure this is from Colorado. You can kind of see it in the water. It says Colorado. Sure. So yeah. So this is a Colorado mug. Shout out to Justin Gaethje. Pat Barry, Rose Numb Unit.
Mug envy.
Huh?
I've got mug envy.
Yeah, dude. I don't have a Sasquatch mug yet. But
not yet.
Someone send them one.
One of our listeners make Mike a Sasquatch mug.
I gotta grab this little figurine. I'll show you this.
Oh my gosh!
I got this really cool guy that reached out to me, and he's a fan. And I hope that he watches this because he sent me a couple of these figurines. I'll actually post the link like in my Instagram story so you can see it. But he sent me like this guy, and it's like really, it's like he like hand carves these things. It's really. It's really interesting. I don't know if it's wood or not. It's definitely some type of weird material, but you can tell that he hand makes these and he paints them himself and stuff. And I got a Bigfoot one upstairs, but this is the recent one he sent me. It's this freaking badass Yeti. And I think he looks like me because we have the same unibrow. You know what I mean? We got the same
unibrow and beard, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, dude, you're the man. Like, the truth be told, just like you're saying, man, the community of people that believe in Sasquatch and are into that, they're all really cool people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot cooler than fucking big cat people. That's for sure.
I hope they're just as weird, though. That's the thing.
God, if I still had my mullet that I had a couple years ago, I would 100%, I would fully embody, I would be Mike Exotic for sure. I would be, if I was locked up right now, I would be at Fred Meyer buying the cheapest hair bleach and just going all in.
Have you always, did you ever have another time when you had the mullet as well? I really appreciate a good mullet, and yours was fantastic. Was this a thing throughout your teenage years as well?
Yeah, I think I've had a mullet for like the better part of my life. I've just kind of had to grow up a little bit. You know, the last one's not the last one, but I'm going to wait a little while because I'm going to grow one more and it's going to be like down in the middle of my back. It's going to be.
Whoa, that's like Joe Dirt style right there.
Just raunchy. Dude, I snowboard a lot. So I'm around all these crazy like ski bums with the wicked mustaches, like and crazy haircuts. Like I'm into it, dude. There's nothing like when you see a dude flying down the mountain on skis and he's just got his freaking his Kentucky mud flap in the back just flapping in the wind. You know what I mean?
Kentucky mud flap is the man. That is amazing. That is amazing. Yeah. I never heard that before. Oh, write that down.
Beats Kentucky. Keep writing that down. He writes down movies and things to look up, and he writes down Kentucky mud flap now.
That's amazing.
Man, Taste of America.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Lots of good content here.
All of the Americana in one episode of the A-Side here. I feel like I'm really exploring your guys' culture finally.
Big cats, Bigfoot, and mullets. Those are the big three right there.
Yeah. And it's different up here, man, up in Washington. I live close to the Canadian and Idaho state border, and you see some shit in Idaho, man. Which, by the way, it's kind of fucked up, dude. Because like, pardon my language, but like Hayden Lake in Idaho, Hayden Lake is like has the most white supremacists per capita.
Lord,
and I'm not gonna pull any of my punches. These white supremacist people are fucking idiots. And you'll just see him like it's legal to ride a four wheeler in the streets and things like that. So you'll just see him like Confederate flag on the back of the four wheeler, no helmet, like riding back from the grocery store with their groceries bundled down. Like I'm like, you fucking white trash.
Anyone that ever says to me from now on anything about Idaho, I'm just going to immediately reply. You see some shit in Idaho, man.
Yeah, you do. That's for sure.
I'm taking all these Mike Mav quotes to use in my general American conversations from now on.
Nice Kentucky mud flat, man.
Yeah, he's bald. Like, what the fuck?
It's a good conversation starter.
So people really wave the Confederate flag in the Pacific Northwest?
Not really in Washington. Okay. Not. I mean, once in a while, maybe you'll see it. That's but in Idaho, it's kind of a big thing. Like it's there's a lot of white supremacists in Idaho. Jeez. It's actually kind of messed up. You know what I mean? I don't like to offend people and their religions, but that's just one that I can't really pull my punches with. I think it's a total joke.
Nor should you.
Yeah. Man, they're all a bunch of fucking idiots. You know what I mean? But yeah, Hayden Lake, man, look it up. There's a lot of lunatics out there.
All
right. Like a lot of them too. The guys that are actually like Aryans, you can tell, and I might stand corrected, but to my understanding, I was told a while ago that the guys that are part of like the Aryan Nation gangs, like the white supremacist gangs, they wear red suspenders, but they don't put them up. They let them hang down. So they have like red. So that's like their little insignia. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we don't put our suspenders on.
Because we're hardcore. That's why.
Yeah. Now, you know, wave my flag. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. I wasn't going to take this guy seriously, but then I saw his draped suspenders.
I know. Now, watch out. Don't fuck with that guy. You know what I mean? Probably rode his 3-liter to pick up a freaking 6-pack of Natty Ice Tall Boys or something. You know what I mean? Something just raunchy.
Fucking Idaho.
Yeah. It's actually not all that bad. I mean, I'm talking about all the bad stuff, but. Like there's a city called Coeur d'Alene in Idaho, and it's like absolutely beautiful. And there's like, I think like Post Malone bought a mansion out there. I think Alex Rodriguez has a mansion out there. There's a lot of like,
I've heard a lot of like musicians are moving to like the Wyoming, Idaho area to make music these days, just to get away from everyone.
Yeah, man. It's a beautiful place. I love where I live. Like I love the little pocket of America I live in. I'm not a Seattle guy. I like being on the east side of the state. I like being around the mountains and just a lot of it's very calm, you know, and being close to Idaho. I live in a great spot where I can go 40 minutes north and cross the border to Canada, or I can go 40 minutes east and I can get into Idaho. And there's just, you know, it's kind of get the best of three worlds.
There you go.
Are you pretty secluded there, Mike? Like, I mean, is your house away from everybody else, or is it a suburb, or what's going on there?
It's not really a suburb, but like my neighbor's house on this side of me, his house is probably 20, 30 yards from me. And then the other neighbor, his house is probably like two thirds of a football field away from me. So I have like space. I'm in a neighborhood, but I'm not in like a development, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm definitely surrounded by trees. I have 5 acres out here. I got a nice little setup here. A little good for my social distancing.
Sure. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, perfect for that.
Yeah. It's not too bad.
Well, Casey, I'm sure we have more questions coming in. Any other questions for Mike? I know we got off a little tangent and people are probably like, get to the questions.
Sorry.
You're good. From John Smith Remembi on Twitter, is Mike open to a fight with Jeff Neal? What does Jeff have to do to get that fight? Hashtag the A side.
I'm pretty focused on the guys above me.
Right.
Jeff's tough as shit. I saw his skills his first fight in Contender Series. But I think that if he wants the bigger name fights, he should take a different approach. You know what I mean? Like, he jumped out on Twitter for no reason and just was kind of like, what are you going to catch his hands? I'm going to knock you out. You don't want the smoke, like saying stuff to me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not even going to respond to you because I'm not into that. You know what I mean? If I get a guy like Gilbert Burns, who, no offense to Jeff, I think Gilbert's very seasoned and very well-rounded, probably one of the most well-rounded guys in the division. If he calls me out the way he did, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take the bait on that, but I'm just not going to get any spats. You know what I mean? It's like, if I ever ended up getting a Colby Covington fight, like I asked for, and he starts, you know, doing what he does, the verbal vomiting and stuff, I wouldn't engage. I'm just not into it. So, you know, I could see myself fighting Jeff down the road, but right now I'm looking ahead of me. And a lot of people are like, well, you responded to the Neil Magny call out. I'm like, well, truth be told, I was in Ottawa drinking beers and watching the fights with a bunch of Canadians. And I love Canadians. They're some of the coolest people ever. And they got me all pumped up. Like, Neil Magny called you out. You got to tweet him. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tweet him. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But I'm really focused on the guys ahead of me, dude. I've been in the sport for 8 years. Jeff's a young guy. He's really good. I mean, he's got the talent's great. He's from an awesome team. I have a lot of respect for his coach and the people at Fortis. I can see that fight happening down the road, but right now I'm looking ahead of me and I feel like I deserve those fights with the guys in the top five. You know, I've been in the UFC for 8 years. It's time to get what I'm due. You know what I mean? And that's to get a shot at a big fight. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. I'm just looking at the guys ahead of me right now.
You mentioned Gilbert Burns there, Mike, and he obviously has had he's had a great kind of resurgence since he went to 170 as well, right? Like, he was making 55 like you, probably a lot of weight to lose there. It seems to be like a trend that comes along a lot where we see guys like you having fantastic runs at that higher weight division. Do you feel as though that's something you can only come to terms with after you've been in the UFC a while, when you've gained a bit of experience? Because the whole weight cutting thing, a lot of people used to see it was for that early advantage, right? That early strength advantage. Is it just a comfort with giving that up later on in your career that you find guys kind of do this after a while of being in a lower weight class in the UFC?
Well, it was tough to make that move. Like the era I started fighting in, I started training in 2008. And, I call that, like, that was still to me like the Miletic era. And when I say Miletic era, I say, let's spar the hardest, 10 rounds, new guy every minute. You know what I mean? The crazy hard sparring sessions, the cut the most weight, do everything in the most extreme way. So like I started, when I got into the sport, we were still in that very extreme era. And as time has gone on and I saw people like Dustin Poirier make that jump up, it was like, you know, it got to a point where I'm like, this weight cutting thing is like all I think about. And it I'm not getting any better. Like I felt like my last two fights at 155, I made no improvements. You know what I mean? I had good camps, but once I got into the last 3 weeks, it was when I had to start focusing on the weight. I just realized like I'm losing all these things I'm gaining through the camp and I'm not like making any progress as a martial artist. So Seeing guys like Poirier definitely were like, you know, something needs to change. You know what I mean? So it was tough to do. The going into that those strange waters of a new weight class when you've been at one forever and you're so used to doing things a certain way. It's like it felt wrong the first time I cut to 70. So I'm like, this doesn't feel like I'm doing anything. Like, am I in shape? Am I ready for this fight? Because like when you're cutting a lot of weight, you do it the right way, you're running a lot. You are working out a lot of extra workouts just to cut weight. Like, I don't know. It was kind of a weird thing, but I thank guys like Dustin for being the front runner. You know what I mean? Cause
right.
I think it was, he was like the first guy to actually go up a weight class and kind of like spark the movement, I guess you could say.
Well, looking at the welterweight division, did the fact that it seems like the top of the division is very grappler and wrestling heavy, while opposed to the lightweight division, you have a lot of like strikers and all around MMA fighters, but you have like Tyron Woodley, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman, Damian Maya, like all of these fighters that play into your strengths as well in this new division. Did that play any factor at all into making the jump up too?
It wasn't the style of the fighters at the top. It was more at the time when I decided to change weight classes, the water was a lot less muddy. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
My aspirations have stayed the same. Like, I'm gunning for a world championship. I believe I'm going to win a world championship. I feel like I'm ready to win a world championship. But like in 155 at that time, when I was still there, you had, you know, Habib, you know, at the top, Ferguson with the interim belt, Connor in the fringes, you know, he's going to come back and can get a title fight whenever he wants at that time. So I just thought like, it's going to take a lot. Like I basically looked at the work Tony Ferguson was putting in and was like, dude, the guy's won at that time, like 9 fights in a row and he hasn't gotten a title shot yet. I was like, I think it's time for me to go to a different weight class. But now the water's almost just as muddy because you got the BMF title, you got the champ, you got, you know, I wouldn't relate Colby to Connor because they're both different people, but Colby's kind of the guy that's number one sitting at the top. That's going to hold out for a title fight type of thing. You know what I mean? So yeah, the water's murky up here, but you know, with everybody being grapplers, grappler based on paper, stylistically, those are my toughest matchups. I didn't wrestle in college. So Usman, Covington, those guys have an advantage on me. Maya and Burns, they're black belts, legit black belts, world champion black belts. I'm a blue belt. I've never won worlds. I've even been submitted.
You're a blue belt?
I have 3 losses in my entire career, amateur and pro, that I've been submitted. So obviously there's some deficits, but those are the challenges I want. I want to face those guys. Those, to me, those are the toughest challenges. Striker versus grappler. I've been doing that my whole career. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The toughest challenges to me are the guys that have the better, you know, grappling accolades than I do.
Are you like, you're like, when you say I'm only a blue belt, you're a blue belt the way like Matt Hughes was a blue belt for years and dominating black belts, that kind of way?
I just never did gi. I never did gi. Yeah. When Anthony Pettis served me a dish of humble pie big time. And I used to kind of bash on the gi and thought it was stupid. And when you find yourself getting submitted by a striker that trains in the gi a lot, you kind of start to rethink things a little bit. You know what I mean? So I can thank Anthony Pettis for being the guy that got me to swallow my pride, put the gi on, and, you know, do it that way. So
what was the hesitation to put on the gi for so long?
It's not functional.
Well, for one, at the time when I first started training, we didn't have a lot of gyms in Spokane. So the one guy that had a gi jiu-jitsu program was like arch right. Like, they were arch nemesis to our gym. Like, we did not get along with that school. And, you know, and at that time, like, my mentor is Lyle Beerbaum. I don't know if you guys remember Lyle Beerbaum. He was badass for a while. Check him out.
But, I remember Lyle Beerbaum. He was Fancy Pants. Pants. Yeah.
Fancy
Pants. Man. Yeah. What happened to him? He was a great. How's he doing? I haven't heard about him in a while.
He's moved on. You know, he's a family guy now. He's doing his thing. But, you know, that was my mentor. So we did have a gi program where I started training. And him being my mentor, he was just like, he's stupid. I started doing it. It's not functional to fighting. It's stupid. You just need to grapple. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, that settles that. So as time went on, I never thought to go train in the gi until Pettis submitted me. So I can thank him.
And what are the benefits of that, Mike?
I think it's good for me to slow things down. I used to kind of have no rhyme or reason to a lot of the things I did, except for my catches. You know, I wasn't really taught a lot of technical sweeps or, you know, technical positions. You know, I cut my teeth in an MMA gym. You know what I mean? We didn't have a boxing program. We didn't have jiu-jitsu. We just had MMA. So, my catches were always on point, but I didn't, outside of that, I just kind of was like making stuff up as I was going. So the good thing about training in the gi is it slows me down. It makes me more technical. And like when I'm in training camp, I never train the grips. Like my coach, James Weed, he never has me train any like of the lapel or the sleeve grips. Like I'll go through the class if they're teaching that, like, and we'll do it. But when it comes to like my live grappling, when I'm in camp, he's like, if I'm wearing the gi, don't even grab it. You know what I mean? And I feel like that helps me a lot because it forces me, if I'm not grabbing the gi and the people that I'm going live against, they can do it. It makes me have to work more on my escapes and doing them right. Cause you can't just turn your back in the gi and stand up. You know what I mean? It's just not a good idea. So, it's a really good training tool for me. And it's been a big part of this like refound success that I've been finding at 170. You know, it's really, I feel like this last fight really showed I polished my ground game off and I can positionally dominate people instead of just scramble around and try and get submissions.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, we've had a lot of high level, like what was it, Monday we had Anthony Smith and Mackenzie Dern on, and now we have Mike, a lot of high level grapplers coming on the A side. What'd you think of Quintet? Would you ever do that?
Yeah, I was actually supposed to do Quintet. I was supposed to do it. Me and Gilbert Burns were actually talking about it. I like that guy a lot. He's fucking awesome. You know what I mean? If we actually fight, it's going to be, I'm happy to fight a guy that I have mutual respect for, you know what I mean? But, him and I were supposed to be teamed up. And at the time, no offense to my man, Sean O'Malley. I love Sean. Sean's a Montana kid. I don't know if you guys knew that. Love Sean. We didn't know he was as good of a grappler as he is. You know what I mean? Right. So Burns, as we're talking before Quintet, he's like, oh, dude, I'm glad you're on our team. Like, I kind of thought I was by myself. I'm like, no, dude, this is going to be cool. Like, him and I are talking about, like, how are we going to go about approaching Jake Shields? Like, we're, like, talking, we're, like, game planning. And then, you know, Danny Rube, my manager, called me. And he's like, yeah, Sean said no. So you're not doing Quintet. And then it turns out Sean O'Malley is a freak on the ground. Like, holy crap. Yeah. His ground skills are legit. Dude's the complete package. But yeah, I would love to do Quintet, man. That would be fun. I want to get into more grappling stuff. I think it's a great way to stay active. You know what I mean? It's a good, that I think being as active as you can, it's important.
Well, Burns BK is a hell of a fight though. Can we just say for the record there, let's not pass that up there. That would be an incredible fight. Holy shit.
Me and Gilbert?
Yeah. Would be. Looking at the moment, the way you're looking at the moment, I think that's an insane fight.
Yeah, we're on a collision course right now. Honestly, we kind of always have been. You know what I mean? You know, you see how the UFC puts fights together. You do Pettis and Wonderboy. You do Maya and Burns. You know, you do Usman and Covington. You know, styles make fights. And him and I are just on a collision course. And I think he's the most well-rounded guy at 170 pounds. He can wrestle. He can grapple. And we just saw he can definitely strike. So, yeah. Tough guy. So we'll see what happens. But I think the world of the guy. I think he's awesome. You know, and I would rather have this fight happen while we're at the top than when it doesn't really mean anything, because I think we're two of the best guys in the division. And it would be a shame if this was a fight that was happening when we weren't even ranked. You know what I mean? I think that it bears a lot of weight now. So we'll see what the UFC wants to do. But I think we got a ways to go before we're matching any fights. You know what I mean? We got a lot of things. Yeah. So I'm not really dwelling on it right now. Once things start to clear up and I can get back in the gym, we'll sort this whole thing out.
Fair play. Casey, any other questions for Mike? Here we go. That's the same Jeff Neal. Wow. That was
a good question. I thought someone else was asking about Jeff Neal. I was like, hang on a second.
All right, from Jacob Ferrara on Twitter. Unlike certain UFC colleagues, does Mike find it difficult to not be an irresponsible, reckless jackass for more than a couple months at a time? I imagine he's talking about the – and those were his words, not mine – from the news that came out yesterday regarding John Jones. So to answer our listener's question, is it difficult not to be irresponsible, Mike?
Yes, it is. It is. I'll own it. I don't care, dude. I train regularly, and it's not like I'm a jock. It's because, you know, I enjoy training. It's a hobby. Like, I look at jujitsu, like I look at skateboarding and snowboarding and like these hobbies I have. It's just stuff that's fun. So it keeps me in shape. But I love beer. I love pizza. But I don't like getting in law trouble. I've never been arrested. Never had any charges. But I did almost get arrested actually a couple of days ago, which is funny.
Tell me more.
I didn't do anything like bad, but my sister was in town visiting for spring break, and I have like kind of a souped up Subaru WRX. It's pretty fast, and my nephew, he wanted to go for a ride in it, and it's funny. He's a little guy. He's like 5 or 6, and he gets in the car, gets in the front seat, and we're just leaving this diner that we were eating at, and we obviously we were eating. We had to get takeout. We were going to go sit by the river and eat lunch, and he gets in the car, and I go, Max, do you want me to go fast? He goes, yeah. And I go, okay, but if I get pulled over, you have to get out and run. You got to get out and run so that I don't get a ticket and I don't get in trouble. You got to run because they can't catch you. He's like, yeah, Uncle Michael, I'll do it. I'm like, all right, sweet. Jump in the car, blah, just start ripping. Sure as shit, I get pulled over. And I'm like, oh my God, no. And I was doing, I think, like 75 and a 25. So the cop flips around, pulls me over. I roll the window down, I'm like lean out, and he's just like, what? He's like screaming at me. What the fuck are you doing? You're going to jail. Get out of the car. I'm like, oh no. I'm not even like upset or sweating it, because I'm like, okay, it's a speeding ticket. Like, this is going to be my first time getting arrested. I guess, you know, you haven't lived unless you've gotten arrested, maybe. Sure. Who knows? But so this dude's ripping me, and I'm like, he's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, dude, I'm just taking my nephew for a ride. He's like, do you have any symptoms of COVID-19? And I'm like, what? No. And he's like, I can't believe you would drive with your son in the car like that. And I'm like, you know, that's actually my nephew. He's like, oh, how would your brother feel? I'm like, well, it's actually my sister, and she's actually going to be pulling up any minute. And so he's just torching me, dude, burning me down. And my sister comes pulling up, and what the hell are you guys out doing? And she's like, we were just getting food, like a half mile down. Cop comes back, takes my registration. He reads it, and he goes, Michael Chiesa. I go, yeah. And he's like, do you remember me? I'm like, this could go bad. You know what I mean? Maybe. I can't tell because your glasses. And he took his glasses off, and I recognized him. And if Officer Darren Powers, if you were watching this, thank you. But he's just like, oh, I remember you, man. You remember me before your Canada fight? That was like 10 years ago. I was like, yeah. He's just like, what the hell are you doing, man? Take your stuff. Get the hell out of here. I'm like, wow, that was intense. Like, I kind of called that one. I said,
well,
got to get on the car and run if I get pulled over, Max. So so then I go meet up with my sister, and we eat. We're talking about it. And she's like, when we drove by, we all started laughing because Max is sitting in the front seat of the car, like, just like locked in, straight ahead, eyes wide open, just like scared shitless. And his rebuttal to me was just like, he's like, you know what the first thing you said to the cop was? I go, what? He goes, you rolled down the window and you said, howdy. I was like, oh, sounds about right.
Good life lesson for him right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'll never forget that one for sure. He thought he was going to jail. I was like, why didn't you run? Why didn't you run, dude? You got a job. You're supposed to run.
Oh, man.
Dear God.
American police are the scariest, though. They love shooting people over there, right? Like, that's terrifying. Every time I see a video of people in America, like, here's another policeman killing someone. You're like, what the fuck, man?
Oh, dude. And as he had me outside the car just torching me, I like have this thing where, like, if I get uncomfortable, I'll like reach behind me and I'll like play with my pant line.
No.
It's a weird thing I do. And I like reach behind me, and he's like, hands out of your pocket, like put his hand on his gun. I'm like, whoa, no, I was just reaching behind you, dude. I'm sorry.
Don't stress. Don't listen to this. I just began.
Coronavirus, man, it's got me going crazy. I almost went to jail.
I'd just get shot immediately if I was ever pulled over in the United States. I just act wrong and they just put a cap on me. I'd probably deserve it as well.
Oh,
what can you
do? I thought I was done. I was like, well, going to jail. See you guys.
Oh my God.
Dear God. Well, we're running. We have about 10, 15 minutes left. So, Casey, any other questions for Mike? I know we had a few come in.
No.
That's a picture of Yeti again. Oh. A picture of the swamp ape again.
got some good content there. Yeah.
This is by far one of the more interesting episodes we've ever done of the A-side.
Some shit, Idaho, man.
Hold on.
From Sean Denny, Denny Rants. Hashtag the A-side. If you had to choose an MMA-related family fortunes team, who are you choosing? All involved in MMA are available.
What's family fortunes?
Yeah, you're going to have to take me through that as well.
I don't know. I assume, is it Family Feud? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Wait, does no one know what Family Fortunes is?
No, I have no idea.
No, that's what it is, Casey.
Oh, you enlightened.
Esther, what was it Family Feud, maybe? Let's pretend it's Family Feud.
I'd say it's a UK version of Family Fortunes, or yeah, you know what I mean?
It's just the UK. It's the British version of like Family Feud.
Okay, well, my first pick, 100%, would be my boy, Strong Island Zone, Ally Quinto. That would be my top choice for sure. That's my number one pick. So I don't know how many people can go on a Family Fortunes team. I'm assuming five. So
I think it's five. Yeah.
It would be me. It'd be Ray Janelle. I would probably pick.
We got to do a whole family. Who's gonna be like? You got to do the seniors, kind of the, you know, your age and kind of the young ones.
I'd want Don Fry.
Okay. Ooh, that is an underrated answer right there.
Yes, Don Fry. A little Valentina Shevchenko. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, the crazy somebody with an accent. And for my fifth, I think my fifth, I'd probably go Mike Perry. You know what I mean? And then during the show, I could listen to Al and Mike Perry just talk shit to each other, and it would just be like two things going on in itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be me buddied up with Don Fry, Mike Perry, and Al talking shit, and then you just have Valentina just stuck in the middle, smiling, answering all the questions for us.
Well, that is just a ragtag group of misfits if I ever heard. That is the most random Family Feud team I've a fighter's ever brought to the table.
Yeah. Well, Don Fry's MVP, and you know what? You know what today is? Today is Don Friday.
Woo!
Happy Don Friday, guys. Yo!
Former ASU Sun Devil, Don Fry, me and him. ASU alum.
Don Friday, I'm going to go shave a mustache. Nothing else to do.
AC, you're the only one dressed for the occasion with that mustache you got going on.
What a mustache it is.
What a mustache. Look at that, man.
In case, T, I'm sorry I didn't submit my Face the Pain video.
No, don't worry.
I have no excuse because I can't say I was busy because I haven't been doing jack shit. But I read through the lyrics a few times and I'm like, God, I feel awkward. If I was drunk and I could play the music in the background, yeah, I could do it. But I'm like trying to acapella it. I'm like, you will never get to me. Can't be done. I'll do myself. Oh, this is awkward.
So I can slip away.
Yeah. That was tough.
Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yes. And it was fucking awesome. Okay, and the second I watched it, I totally kicked myself. I'm like, God, I should have done it.
That's what I was telling you. Because, like, don't worry. There were a handful of fighters that wrote back and said, oh, it sounds awesome. It was like, oh, but I can't do it. I can't sing. I was like, it's not about how you sing. It's just about It's like when people go to karaoke can be two things. You should be really good or really awful. When you're kind of in between, it's kind of boring. But if you're really awful, it's just as entertaining as if you're really good.
I screwed that up. I think that if you'd have caught me at a time when I'd be drinking some fine brewed beverages, I probably would have been like, yeah, let's do this. I would have just like... mic dropped, start singing Face the Pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's one of those things, isn't it? Even with karaoke, it's like you walk in saying, I'm not going to do this. And then you have a few beers and you're like, can't get rid of you. I'm up about five times.
Oh, yeah. My teammate, Sam Cecilia, and I, we used to go out and have beers a lot together back in the day. We don't really go downtown anymore, but we used to go to this karaoke bar called Monterey Cafe, and we were notorious for singing duets all amazing. The time. Like, we would sing Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow. We'd sing that was our deal. And at this place, Monterey Cafe, you can get like pizza in 40s. And so I have like pictures I could show you guys where we're like mic in hand, PBR 40s, just like belting at each other. Like we used to do some.
Sounds like a good first date spot.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Yeah,
pizza, 40s karaoke.
So, what are some of your go-to standards, Mike, when you hit the karaoke bars?
Well, picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow is a good one.
Beautiful.
If I have to go to a karaoke bar and I'm not feeling it, but I'm getting forced to sing, I always just sing Tequila. Cause you only have to say Tequila. Tequila. You just only have to say one word. So I go to that if I'm not like feeling the singing.
Do you do the Pee Wee Herman dance? The Tequila dance?
No, I just kind of bob my head, okay. Kind of sit there. You know what I mean? That looked totally gay.
we'll loop that over and over. Don't worry.
Yeah, that just looked very wrong. I shouldn't say gay. Yeah. That didn't look good. I could have bobbed my head better with my hand away from me. Yeah. But I like to sing like Garth Brooks, Journey. Darren Till. His song "Sweet Caroline." I've been known to rip that a time or two, but yeah, Garth Brooks. That's usually my jam if I'm doing it by myself.
Well, we got no more fan questions, but real quick before we run out, we got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Gilbert Burns tweeted his top 5 cheat meals. He said flan, stroganoff, dulce de leche, ice cream, and milk chocolate. So before we let you go, what are your top 5 cheat meals during coronavirus quarantine?
I saw the stroganoff one. I'm like, never would have thought stroganoff. I like stroganoff. My top 3 would be, I love pizza, but if I'm like cheating, I always go to like a barbecue chicken pizza. So barbecue pizza. Mike and Ike's. I love candy. Mike and Ike's. Cinnamon Chex cereal, tiramisu, and really any type of pasta. I'm a big pasta guy. I just can never eat it because I'd be fighting it like heavyweight if I eat pasta all the time. It's heavy.
The Italians
are like they have a champ. It's like you got to watch yourself on this quarantine thing. Like I'm stuck inside. I'm just looking around. I'm like, well, I'm not hungry, but I'm just kind of sitting around. What can I eat right now?
Yeah, I have the cinnamon Chex over there. I pretty much have 3 of the 5 things on that list. Shout out to the Italian Kitchen in Spokane. They've been hooking it up.
Guillermo Cruz on our site said stroganoff. He's our Brazilian reporter. Said stroganoff is huge in Brazil. So maybe that explains it.
Really? I had the chef, Justin Liu, at the UFCPI, we have this thing where when I come to town, we'll make weird pizzas. And I had him make me a stroganoff pizza once.
Wow.
What?
Oh my God. I'll give it a go. I'll send a fork.
Jot that one down. You got to jot that one down. Stroganoff
pizza?
Yeah.
I might try and make it myself.
It was really good.
It's a beautiful thing. The Italians, like you are you of Italian heritage with a name like Chiesa? I think you would be.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, that food is so beautiful, man. I don't know how you could be a fighter. Of Italian lineage at the same time. It's like two opposing worlds colliding.
Yeah, well, and Italians aren't fat because, well, I mean, there's some that are fat. There's fat people in every part of the world. Whatever. So, you know what I mean? It's whatever. But Italians, like, they don't eat a lot until it's like nighttime. You have like a light breakfast. Yeah, you don't really eat anything. And then you get to nighttime and it's like a 3-hour free-for-all. I love it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Shout out to all the people in Italy. It's a tough time.
Guillermo wants to add that they also have stroganoff pizza in Brazil and also have French fry pizza down there too. So apparently all the pizzas are down in Brazil.
I love it.
That's French fry pizza. That's interesting.
Learn something.
It's kind of fitting though. It's kind of fitting because pizza actually originated in France. It didn't originate in Italy.
That's scandalous. That is scandalous. It's Italian gentleman.
It's the Italians that perfected it, but France is from, or pizza's from France.
You know? Sure.
I almost said France is from pizza. I'm losing my mind.
Well, we have hit the 11:30 mark, so we are out of time, Mike. But as usual, as per custom, the guest gets to plug or promo whatever they want. So the floor is yours for whatever you want to say before we sign off.
Yeah, usually I'd plug some sponsors and stuff, but I think I'd rather just be a little more serious and just say, stay strong, everybody around the world. It's a very trying time, and I know it's challenging for a lot of us, and there's people dying, and there's people getting sick, and it doesn't matter what you believe in. This is just the time to be thankful for what you have and stay safe and stay inside and just stay strong. So Much love, guys.
Well said. I don't think Pete or I could follow that up. But for Pete, that's Mike. We'll be back on Monday. You can stay on our YouTube page. You can watch this. You can also find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that fun stuff. Mike, thanks for stopping by. This is by far one of the most fascinating I've ever done on the A Side. I learned more about Bigfoot in the last hour than I have in the first 29 years of my life. So thanks for that.
Yeah, I gave you guys a few rabbit holes to jump in. You got time.
I love it. I mean, we got all the time in the world right now. But for PT, that's Mike. This is Jose. We're out.
See you guys.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.